And hello, we are
Recording.
recording
Very good.
the epic sprawl of conversations on transparency in its many manifestations.
I just did a quick count of Skype calls. I believe we are starting number six.
My God, awesome. It's a marathon. A marathon. So
Pretty good.
we yeah, which is awesome. And actually, we just got cut off on the last one talking about transparency, when perhaps you did not intend to be as transparent as you are, when you kind of when you do tip your hand, for example,
Those surprising moments of accidental transparency.
and that they are valuable. And even if the value is that, well, now I know where I
Yes.
stand, you know, versus someone who's deliberately obfuscating. And then suddenly they're revealed to be transparent. But, and I'm sure you've had those moments where you know, I don't know how much you're willing to reveal, but where you've said something and then looked back and gone, "Oh my God."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and a lot. Oh my goodness, yes. And a large part of why that happens to me is, because I'm not always super great with the empathy, and I'm not always super great. I know it's kind of laughable. I'm not always super great with the recognizing of, sort of typical emotional cues. And sometimes I get a little bit too caught up in my aversion to absolutes, my, trying to remain faithfully objective, and sort of, some may call them quirks, life philosophy, however the fuck you want to say it. I have been in this situation where I have said entirely the wrong thing in the moment, completely honestly. Like, not a question of me getting it wrong, but a question of me saying what I actually think, and having it be completely incorrect for that moment. So there's a which is one kind of accidental transparency, right? It's the accidental transparency, which is like, wow, the moment that I just had in my brain and my mouth and my words is completely different from the moment that you were having in your brain and your ears and your brains. And so this is now a complete derailment of mood or experience or however you want to say it. So there's that kind of fuck up, which isn't exactly a fuck up, but it's kind of close to one. And then there's the other thing about, like, with your example, saying something that's more where you think it's in jest, and funny is entirely the wrong thing to be in that moment, and you probably weren't really being all that funny to begin with. But it's tough because it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. Nobody's able to always say the perfect thing.
No, I usually do
It's in my head. Seems perfect to me.
it comes out and you're like, "Oh my God."
Well, and then I say it, and then sometimes I'll get the people around me who sort of tilt their head and raise an eyebrow in like a roo kind of look, and I realize that
Like, what the fuck?
there's nothing, there's no, there, like, word sounds are not matching up. I don't know what's
To
happening.
actual experience around me.
I am an alien.
And it's even more heightened if because if you're in a situation where you've got an unequal power dynamic, you have this added tension because as the submissive type, for example, this is the way the submissive is. And even if you've done all the work to make sure it's specific to your relationship, to make sure that you're behaving from a place of compassion and self-care and all of that shit, there's going to be a point where you say the thing that pulls you out of the moment and fucks you up and gets you know, in a really heightened emotional state. And if you are the dominant type person and you lose it and you know, lash out, which is a very human thing to do, and not an unforgivable offense. However, it's exponentially more painful for the S type person coming from their dominant. You know, like someone on the street could say to me, "Hey, fat ass, get out of my way." I'd be like, "Oh, shut the fuck up, whatever." One of my best friends could be like, "Oh, you're kind of a dick today." And I'd be like, "Yeah, whatever, fuck you." Dominant says, "My eggs are not done the way I like." And it's like the world is Eddie. I will now get the sacrificial knife and
Yeah.
cut my throat because I have failed in the one thing that matters to me the most. So there's definitely a weight that happens there. And regardless of whether or not they want to admit it, there is a high degree of vulnerability from the dominant, masterly point of view when it comes to shit being said that hits them in the wrong way, that questions their authority, that maybe is core to how they question their own authority. You know, that's one of the prices that you pay for vulnerability and for transparency is that people do know how to get you.
Yes.
My opinion on that is when someone knows how to get you and exercises compassion based on knowledge versus ignorance, holy shit. That is an amazing degree of trust. And that's what I want to see in a relationship. I want to see the fact that it's like, yes, I could take you apart, and I'm
Yeah.
not going to because I care and because that's not my own personal ethic. I don't care if it's ethical in general, but your personal ethics,
Right.
whatever it is that you have decided to work for you in that relationship, would not permit you to do that. And at that point, that's where the transparency becomes even more awesome because you're like, holy crap. I have seen your weakness. I have seen your issues and your problems. I've seen where you have now said the wrong thing, and all I want to do is remove your face with a spoon. However, not gonna because I have seen that this is part of your humanity.
Right. And it's the just sort of like the core awesomeness of humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing that if nothing else, it's the thing that pulls us to each other is a recognition, a shared recognition of this humanity as, you know, sometimes weird and Vulcan-ish as it might be, there still is a certain, there is that shared recognition. And when you can be transparent, and when you can be also forgiving of some, how to put it, like forgiving of some moments of transparency, those accidental moments of transparency, maybe, or you recognize where they come from. And this also has to do with being able to break that iconic status that you're giving to someone, right? Ditch that iconic status that you're giving to someone. And again, it goes both ways, right? As a D type, there are probably D types who I want to say like iconify, but now I'm getting right back into more made up words. Longevity and iconify. So
Oh my God.
the act of
The act of iconographing.
no, it's like iconizing.
Oh my God. Ouch. I think I hurt my ribs.
Really, your ribs? It's my brains. My brains are like, shut up with the words already, Jesus.
So when you're iconizing.
You're making somebody into a you're making somebody into an image, making somebody into a like a like a like a template, right? They're not a human anymore. They are a figurehead. They are an ideal, right? That's the word I was looking for. Idealizing. I'm an idiot. Idealizing that you that I'm sure there are plenty of, in the same way as I'm sure there are plenty of submissive types who would look at a dominant and idealize that dominant, right? And we've talked about that before in terms of, you know, is it the like ice queen? Is it the lone wolf? Is it the big meanie? Is it the papa? Like, there's lots of different ways that somebody can assume.
Right. What is that word when you have that persona that see, now my brain's not gonna work. God damn it. There's a word for it. It has to do with a mythological stature that you assume as a person. It's not your persona, not your superego. It's another word for it. Forget it. Move on. I'm gonna remember it later.
All right. So in the same way that happens, I think from from an S type looking to a D type. I'm sure that it happens from a D type looking to an S type, right? The like, depending on what particular flavor of S they're looking for. So the compliant sex slave, or the proper housemaid, or the the best pony. I'm thrown in there.
The best pony.
Right, like the best boy, like all of these sorts of things are.
The best boy, you mean the electrician?
I do in fact mean the electrician.
Was like, I want to see that fetish.
Seriously. Grips.
Someone walks in like, oh my God, the gaffer's here.
Rolls of tape. Tape and tape and tape.
Oh my
And
God,
all the colors.
they would be useful in the dungeon, actually, the gaffers.
I know. They could like tape all of the equipment that's old and busted.
Tape the bottoms to the wall too.
Or the ceiling, and then I could get my actual ceiling fan to work.
Nice.
So that idealizing happens across the board. And part of what I think is valuable then is being able to recognize when what you are doing is idealizing, sometimes potentially unfairly, a human being. And in idealizing them, you are maybe ignoring an aspect of them which could be amazing. And if you want to put it on like a super practical level, because some people really like the practicality. If you want to bring it down to a super practical level, if you can look at somebody as being a person and not an ideal, maybe a part of that person that you have been ignoring because it doesn't fit your ideal is actually amazingly valuable to you and something that you would get so much use out of. Like something that could increase your standard of living, speaking as a D type, right? As somebody who, if you want to use somebody as a resource, like be able to make use of somebody as a resource, you can look at them in an idealized kind of way and say, this is what you do, this is what you are, done, right? Or you can recognize them as a person and be able to say, wow, there's this aspect to you that I never would have noticed because I was idealizing you.
Because you were spending all of your time, on all fours eating from a dog bowl, or you're spending all your time in uber dominant mode and not realizing that there's a great well of compassion or affection or any of those things that could be incredibly important support tools.
Totally. Speaking from the other perspective, yes. If the only way that a D type, if the only way that a dominant could be made to feel cherished, if the only way that a dominant is made to feel appreciated is through those moments of like super domly dom dom business, they have no reason to be otherwise.
Yeah, what
Right?
would their motivation be? What's my
Well,
motivation?
what's the motivation? They could make the choice, they could take the chance. But again, we go back to talking about, the main difficulty with humans and patterns.
And we like the patterns.
Humans do unfortunately like the patterns.
And it's funny because when I think about the people who I know who identify as dominants, but who are also just friends of mine, and I see how they move through the world, I don't look at them and think, how can their dominance make my day better? And yet we do that in our relationships, and that's a natural thing to do, but what about the challenge of saying, okay, fine, that's well and dandy. How does their dominance serve me? But how does the balance of their personality also possibly serve or work towards helping? To build a dynamic, to foster intimacy, to develop closeness, or to maintain distance if that's what you want. You know, like whatever those things are. there's a lot to be said for the idea that we have relationships in order to find a piece of ourselves in someone else. And if that's true, how interesting is it to be with someone who is a complete person, because then you can find those pieces. If I'm looking at someone as an alien creature who I can't empathize with, I'm like, oh, you're dominant. I'm not at all dominant. I don't see how we have anything in common. How can I get inside your head, versus thinking, well, I suppose I could be a dominant. Let us say I am. What would I want as a dominant? And oh, look, I'm empathizing, and now I'm probably going to be in a really good headspace to serve, if I'm thinking like you, if I'm trying to see where you're coming from, if I'm trying to get aligned with your process. If I continuously think about it from a submissive
Trying to
mindset,
get.
I'm not necessarily going to get that,
Right.
which is just so much cooler. And I will judge much better.
I think I can totally be on the side of that judgment.
I have spoken.
And you have spoken, so I'm gonna go with that as well. I think that there is always so much more to gain when you have a complete a complete idea of a person on the whole, right? It also too allows that person, getting back to the note, getting back to vulnerability not being a weakness. When you can see someone as being a whole person, you're kind of giving them a sort of tacit permission to engage in their whole personhood inside of this context, right? Inside of this relationship dynamic, power-based context. Like, off the top of my head right now, I can't necessarily think of a way that my being a big old school science fiction geek, like that aspect of myself, of my personhood, I can't necessarily right now think of a way that that could benefit my power-based relationship, but I'm sure that it could. I just can't think of it right now because it's hot and I'm a bit stupid.
Well, I could say, for example, if it fosters closeness, right? If, for
Yes.
example, you make an obscure reference about something, and of the 10 people in the room, I get it. I'm like, ah, oh, dude, see, we're on the wavelength. It's so super cool. That is how friendships form. Like, who are the people who are your friends? The folks who have that in common with you. The people who give a fuck about that. If you happen to know, for example, that someone geeks out on a particular thing, that might not necessarily serve you at the time, but it means that now the person in service has it in their head. So the next time they are out and about and they see a comic shop and there's a thing in the window, like, oh my God, that's that thing that she mentioned, that he mentioned, that they mentioned, that's super intriguing to them. I can now go ahead and point that out, or get it for you, or show you the link, or whatever it is. Those small things foster connection. And if ultimately what we're looking for is connection, then everything that allows you to have access to the other person's inner workings makes that possible. And it's really kind of amazing, kind of beautiful. And that's, to me, what is really unique about power exchange relationships, is that your focus is on finding a way to be pleasing, finding a way to be in control, but having it happen in a way that is seductive and consensual, versus grabbing and grasping and domineering. I mean, I There's plenty of skills that and stuff that we do in our regular lives that we don't necessarily think in terms of how that might benefit our power exchange relationship, which is part of the reason why I, tell people when they're talking about negotiating relationships, I'm like, hand over your resume to your partner, like your regular old job resume, because you might not think the fact that you, I mean, I'm a fucking actor, so of course, I have waited tables, I have catered, I have done all of the things that starving actors do. And that has an obvious application in terms of, service. Well, you're used to providing service, but then you think about it in terms of, oh, well, you know how to actually run a high volume operation, that means that in terms of my being a dominant type person, maybe I can host fancy leather dinner parties as opposed to just have you clean my fucking kitchen. That ups your coolness ante because everyone's like, look, his slave, has some past canapes that are off the chain. That's fucking amazing. You must be so cool. Add to that the type of dominant person who was a financial whiz and they're submissive as shit with money. And the dom's like, great, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna get your shit together financially and you're gonna give me your budget every month and you're gonna do whatever. Having those types of things, knowing that that's something that brings the other person pleasure. If someone's like, I love to see people who are in service to me succeed because that makes me feel good. Sharing those vulnerabilities. It's tough to say I suck at X. But if you do, then you give the other person the opportunity to serve you in that way. And that type of vulnerability, that type of transparency definitely brings people together. Or it shreds you apart, in which case, good. Then you don't need to be with that other
Well, that's
person.
it. Then there was like an there was an essential break that was probably there that was waiting to happen
Yes.
anyways, right?
Yeah.
And I think that it's really amazing to be able to find ways in which both people in the dynamic can make the other person better, right? Like that's to my mind, that should sort of be the goal of anything that we do. And part of the reason that that is, and I can't remember if I've brought this up before or not, but I feel like part of the reason why we should always be focused on making the people that we are involved with better is because it runs against the way that power tends to be used in the world.
Fascinating.
And if we want to hold ourselves up as being different, as being other, right, as being more, as if we want to hold ourselves up as being more self-aware, then part of the responsibility of that is to make sure that the way that we engage in power, the way that we use power, the way that we receive power is only for the purposes of our betterment. Is that a word? Or is that like fucking
No,
longevity?
betterment is a word.
Okay, great. Great. It's only for the purposes of our betterment and maybe even our longevity. When I'm saying longevity now, I mean, for one thing, I'm now recognizing that just saying it is going to give you a case of the giggles, which is funny. But past that, I can't think of anything other than like maps. Like I'm thinking of globes.
Well, you think of longitude, which is a word.
Right. And I guess I'm thinking of like, the longevity and the latitudinisms or something.
Latitudinism.
Yeah.
Do I have latitudinism to perform this action? No, you don't.
Latitudity and longevity.
Reminds me
See?
of like the one time I was at this, I was down at the club. When I was still living in LA and doing these things, and this dude rolled up to me and he's like, "Yo, baby, could we conversate?" And I looked at him and I said, "Actually, we can't because that's not a word." The two girls I was with, like, looking at me like, "Oh my God, you know what he meant? It's like a slang thing. Just go with it." And I'm like, "I can't. That's not a word.
I can't. I'm sorry.
We could converse." But now I'm thinking that we're not even well matched there. So
Was going to say we could converse, but what do you think we would actually converse about?
but now it's like people use conversate as though it is an actual. It's sort of like entering the, yeah.
Well,
No.
right. So, we can just to get back to our conversating before
Previous conversate.
our previous conversate. Jeez. Maybe this is what happens when we do six in a row.
That's what she said.
Oh yeah. See, everybody, this is what's gonna happen. You're gonna get five episodes
Really pithy,
which are like
dense
pointed,
conversation.
right, on the mark, really fucking together. And then you're gonna cut to the six, and you can just start to anticipate this this is gonna be the pattern. You're gonna get to the six, and it's all fucking longevity and giggle fits. Yes.
But that's going to be the one that has the most listens, I bet you. That's going to be the one that people are like, no, you got to listen to this one because they don't make any fucking sense.
That's right.
It's like, no, it's just ridiculousness. But it's not ridiculousness. It is profound and yeah. So, okay, so we have.
Let's also not forget that this series of six podcasts started with me talking about that I was sweaty as balls.
This
So
is true.
that may have started it off on a, but I think that we recovered from that quite well.
Yes.
Just made our way around to a little bit of the silly. But we don't actually have that much time left in this
Now
one,
we have
do
like
we?
5 minutes, so
All
or
right.
4 minutes actually. So we should have some last thoughts on transparency, yo.
I was just thinking about it myself, and I was trying to think about, I was just saying something before the L word came up, and conversate.
The L word.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird reference there, isn't it? Oh crap, but I can't remember what it is now.
I suppose like everyone, and the thing is that someone with more braining than we are is listening to it going, they've just said it. How could you forget? You just fucking said it.
No. Anybody who's thinking that, let me just tell you're not in the moment,
Yeah,
so
dude.
you don't.
You don't know.
No, I know what it was. I know what it was. I know what it was. Ha ha.
You're
I'm in the moment as
good.
well.
Yay.
It's the idea that because it was about bad, it was about the betterment. So it's the
Right,
idea that
right.
everything that we do, no matter how horrible or mean or cruel or humiliating or degrading it might look, that the point of it should be about making both, should be about making all people involved in what's going on healthier and better. Otherwise, we're just fulfilling the same fucking patterns that exist out in the world that we recognize are problematic. So, to bring that back around to transparency, part of the bonus of transparency, and part of the reason why transparency is a thing that I genuinely believe more people should strive for, is that being transparent, engaging in transparency, being as open as you can in a mutually beneficial way with the person or people you are engaging with will allow you to will give you more tools to try to make what it is that you are doing healthier and better for all people, for everybody who's involved.
Word. I
So
think
if there's, yeah.
that's a good capper
I think
wrap.
that's right.
And that's fantastic. And let us just add that that is, I think that that's like an ideal you can strive for. It's one of the sort of litmus tests you can give yourself. Is this going to improve my life, the life of my partner, partners, whomever? Will I be better? Will I be stronger? Will I have learned something? Will I have had the best orgasm ever? Like, whatever it is.
Better,
Yeah.
healthier, better, stronger.
Now I have that Daft Punk song stuck in my head. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Because I don't have it stuck in my head.
I don't even know what song you're fucking talking about.
No, I think I do, and but it's still not stuck in my head. So yeah, I think that transparency is definitely it is definitely a thing to strive for. It is definitely a goal, an ideal, as you said. It's a tool to make that which you do and that which you are and the relationships that you choose to engage in, be they power based or not, essentially healthier and better, and allows for, I think, the improvement of kink culture on the whole. It's hard. It's definitely breaking a pattern, but as with most things that are hard, it is also worthwhile.
Absolutely. And with that, we will wrap up for the last 7 seconds. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
And we'll see you soon.
Wah, wah,
Wah, wah.
wah.